Radio Prague News.
Prague will file a complaint against EU gun restrictions by mid-August. The head of the European Commission wants to speak to the Czech commissioner following criticism she made. And Patrik Schick may become the second most expensive Czech footballer of all time. The Czech Republic will file a complaint at the European Union Court of Justice against EU legislation on weapons by the middle of August. The Minister of the Interior, Milan Chovanec, said the government had approved the legal action on Wednesday. Prague says the EU's amended guidelines making it harder to acquire guns represent discrimination, as well as being disproportionate and unpractical. The move, which was approved by the European Parliament in March, is intended to curb terrorism. Mr. Chovanec argues that people with gun licenses should be able to use their weapons against terrorists. The President of the European Commission, Jean-Claude Juncker, wants to speak to the Czech Republic's Commissioner, Věra Jourová, after she criticised the body's decision to launch proceedings against the Czech Republic for rejecting refugee quotas. Czech television reported the news on Wednesday, quoting a senior source in Brussels. Poland and Hungary will also face action over their refusal to take in compulsory numbers of refugees. The Czech Prime Minister, Bohuslav Sobotka, said on Tuesday his government had already prepared arguments with which to defend its position before the European Commission. The leaders of the coalition partners have agreed a legislative agenda for the remainder of the government's term of office. The head of the Social Democrats deputies group, Roman Sklenák, said the coalition would not be putting forward previously discussed laws on insolvency, social housing or alimony assistance. He said 20 bills were ready for their third hearings and the government hoped to discuss up to 18 more. General elections are due in October. The Speaker of the Senate, Milan Štěch, has rejected an offer from František Čuba to stop taking a senator's salary after failing to appear in the upper house since August last year. Mr. Čuba, who is 81, has been suffering from health problems. However, Mr. Štěch said the best solution would be for him to either resign his seat or to go on official sick leave. The head of Mr. Čuba's party of civic rights, Jan Veleba, said his colleague would like to remain an unpaid senator but operate only in his constituency. The police are now investigating 180 people in connection with the case of alleged bribery of doctors by pharmaceuticals distributors, Mladá Frontezenes reported on Wednesday. Representatives of two drugs companies are accused of giving money to doctors that the organised crime police say was for prescribing certain medicines. The doctors say the money was a reward for conducting patient surveys and other forms of cooperation. To date, charges have been filed against 34 people, the newspaper said. The TV station Sky Sport Italia has reported that the Czech striker Patrik Schick is set to join Juventus from Sampdoria on a 5-year contract worth €30.5 million. If confirmed, the deal would make the 21-year-old the second most expensive Czech footballer ever after Pavel Nedved, who also joined Juventus at a fee of €38.5 million in 2001. Schick, who is expected to sign with Juventus after a medical in the coming days, scored 11 goals for Sampdoria last term in his first season in Italy. The weather, it should be partly cloudy with some sunny spells in the Czech Republic on Thursday, with temperatures of up to 26 degrees Celsius. My name is Ian Willoughby. That's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Velinger. Coming up in today's program, the European Commission decides to launch proceedings against the Czech Republic for refusing to accept migrants under the compulsory EU system. Sculpture Line Festival is back in the Czech capital, including a work by Tony Craig. And in the second half of the program, we visit the Karel Gott exhibit, an exhibition looking back at his life and work. That's all ahead. The European Commission has decided to launch proceedings against the Czech Republic, Poland and Hungary for refusing to accept migrants allocated to them under the EU compulsory system. The news was announced by the Commissioner for Migration, Dimitris Avramopoulos, on Tuesday. The Czech Republic is adamant that it will not take part, with the Prime Minister stating the government was ready to defend its position. A number of dailies around Europe, however, see the situation differently. Evidence of a deepening row in which there is only one likely winner. A little earlier, I discussed the situation with political analyst Jiří Pehe, asking him how he saw developments.
I'm afraid that this is a divide that may be quite lasting. The Czech Republic, unfortunately, joined this club by resisting any acceptance of migrants, and even more so by the decision of the government recently to refuse any refugees that would be accepted under the quota system. So the fact that these three countries were selected by the European Commission is not, in my opinion, a coincidence. And unfortunately, the Czech Republic, Poland and Hungary do not have the euro. They are not members of the eurozone, so they were not treated more leniently by the Commission like Slovakia.
And when you look at the numbers, obviously, there's not much there. I mean, if you look at Slovakia, I believe it's 16 immigrants accepted, the Czech Republic 12, zero in Poland, zero in Hungary. So that speaks volumes in itself.
Unfortunately, the Visegrad countries show that they really are not politically experienced and really not very well equipped politically to be members of the European Union, because there are some other countries in the European Union that do not accept too many refugees, or have not accepted too many refugees simply because they don't want to, or maybe because they had problems. But unlike the Visegrad countries, they have not been fighting a battle with Brussels in which they refuse publicly to take any refugees and challenge the quota system. The other countries understand that the decision on quotas was accepted under the Lisbon Treaty. It's part of the European law, and we may have all kinds of problems with that law. And I think that finally, Brussels lost patience with these countries.
Is there a possibility that this backfires against the European Union in the sense this will be viewed as further, you know, interference by Brussels?
It may actually backfire. I think that Czech politicians are missing a crucial point. And the point is that with the election of Emmanuel Macron in France and the upcoming election in Germany, Germany and France will move ahead with creating quite quickly, in my opinion, a two-speed Europe. And this will be created around the eurozone, with a goal of excluding those countries that do not have the euro and also do not comply with European laws and standards. And so I think that the decision of the European Commission to start proceedings against the Czech Republic, Poland and Hungary is already a first step in this larger scenario in which these three countries I think have been singled out to start a trip to the margins of the European Union, because they have nothing to attach them to the core, which will be going ahead with faster integration.
And that was political analyst Jiří Pehe talking to me there about the possible two-tier Europe and the role of countries in the Visegrad 4 after their tough stance on migration. Next up, as of Wednesday, visitors to Prague have been able to admire a monumental statue by Turner Prize winner Tony Cragg. The bronze object is installed at Náměstí Republiky Square in the center of the city as part of the annual summer festival called Sculpture Line. In all, 22 works by Czech and foreign artists are on view all around the city throughout the summer months. Ruth Frankova has more.
For the third year now, the Sculpture Line Festival has brought artwork to the streets of Prague, both in the centre and the outskirts of the city, and in one case also to the Vltava River. The event, which introduces a mixture of Czech and foreign artists, has for the first time expanded beyond the capital to the West Bohemian town of Pilsen. The biggest highlights of this year's edition of Sculpture Line is a monumental bronze object by Turner Prize-winning sculptor Tony Cragg, says festival director Ondřej Škarka.
It is unquestionably the biggest event in the short history of our festival, and we are very happy to have the work on display. The object is called Mixed Feelings, and it is a typical example of Tony Cragg's art. We got to know Mr. Krag through a foundry in Liberec, which he uses for casting some of his objects. It was actually the only statue available in Europe at the moment. It is 5 meters tall and made of bronze, so it was difficult to transport and install. But at the moment, I can already say it has been successful.
The festival got underway in the beginning of June, and to date some 21 statues have been installed in Prague and Pilsen, including a huge octopus floating in the Vltava River near the Manes Gallery, or a larger-than-life bronze pliers outside of Prague's Dancing House. The festival director Ondřej Škarka says he is particularly happy about cooperation with famous Czech sculptor Olbram Zoubek.
We got hold of his very last bronze cast sculptures, according to his wife. They are really the very last of his cast objects, so I'm very happy about that. My personal discovery this year is the artist Jan Dostal. We have got his 6-meter-tall object called Rounded, which is located in the botanical garden, and we also have his hyena in Dolní Březany, which has become a symbol of this year's edition of the festival.
Thursday will see the ceremonial opening of the so-called rugged stand by popular Czech artist František Skála, which is installed at the city's Malostranské náměstí in cooperation with the National Gallery.
It is a 300-year-old oak trunk which has been turned into a stand. It will be used for selling refreshments and also as an information point of our festival. What is more, it is placed in one of Prague's most beautiful locations.
All of the statues, including František Skála's stand at Malostranské náměstí, will remain on view until the end of September.
That was Ruth Frankva with that story with the Sculpture Line Festival, now on view in many parts of the Czech capital, so definitely worth checking that out. Now, an ambitious floating exhibition has opened in Prague with the target of at least equaling some of the new style of shows devoted to rock and pop greats, such as the Rolling Stones and David Bowie. And who else could be the focus for such a Czech show other than the so-called Golden Voice of Prague, or the Sinatra of the East, Karel Gott? The exhibition understandably puts the focus on Gott's success, but also covers some of stardom's costs. Chris Johnston reports.
Karel Gott, or at least a holograph of the iconic Czech singer, greeting visitors to the specially constructed floating exhibition on Prague's Vltava embankment, Gott My Life, dedicated to his 60 years in show business. Many of those years were at the top, not just in former Czechoslovakia and the Czech Republic, but around the world. Gott is truly a local and worldwide phenomenon, with a mass following in Germany and Austria, substantial success in Russia, and even a star in the home of the stars, the United States. The show, open to the public on June the 8th and lasting until September the 30th, is backed by the foundation of one of the Czech Republic's biggest advertising companies, Big Board, and one of its founders, Richard Fuchsa. Fuchsa outlined at a pre-opening press conference how the idea had come up and what the organisers were seeking to create.
We agreed a year ago that we would put on a big retrospective exhibition about Karel Gott's career, Gott My Life. The exhibition is connected with the contemporary worldwide exhibitions trend, which combine an experience and a show. Reference was made to the David Bowie show, which is touring cities around the world, and the Rolling Stones exhibition. We went to see the Rolling Stones exhibition in New York, and I must say that we were a bit worried whether we could come up with that kind of high quality back in the Czech Republic on the big media boat.
Indeed, the exhibition has drawn on many sources and many sources of inspiration. The singer himself has lent some of his coveted gold and diamond records, his awards, personal photographs, his collection of favourite stage costumes, including his ABBA-style white shoes, and the Godfather-style suit that was for a long time his favourite. As Gott's PR manager, Aneta Stolsova, commented, the singer was far from a passive participant when this exhibition was put together.
Ten nápad se mu líbil od prvopočátku, kdy ho pan Fuchsa vlastně oslovil.
The idea appealed to him from the very start when Mr. Fuchsa sounded him out about it. In fact, Mr. Gott sort of took up the idea in a certain sense as his own. He was not a passive observer when this exhibition was put together about him, but took an active part in it. In the last days, weeks and months, he got together with the curator of the exhibition, Peter Balog, and Mr. Fuchs, and they contributed things that were closest to him. And I think Karel Gott would be very positively surprised, and the emotion that this exhibition evokes has touched him as well, because he can see his past professional life coming together in one place, and you can see how his star rose to the present day.
The emotion being talked about will likely be brought by Czech and Slovak fans of Gott over the generations, but also by his mass audience outside his homeland. Gott's life is very much a seismograph of the six decades of Czechoslovak and Czech history that coincided with his personal success, but will also probably evoke many personal memories as well.
When I went round this exhibition, there was one thing that struck me. As well as its world-class quality, this exhibition brings something more, and that is emotion. When you go around the exhibition, you will identify with the incredible Karel Gott story, and it touches every one of us. There are perhaps moments from childhood, some special moments which I think everyone can find. I hope that everyone, young, middle-aged and old, can find that experience.
As well as drawing on the singer's own memorabilia, the exhibition has pumped the sizable collection of the Czech National Museum's special collection devoted to the history of music. And that includes one very particular contribution from a Karel Gott fan who devoted herself to tracing his career over the decades. Exhibition curator Peter Balog.
We at the museum got this collection comprising around 10,000 items from this woman. Many of them are what could be described as collages. The woman over 50 years cut out from the papers all the articles about Karel Gott and stuck them on paper in an archive. She put together Karel Gott's life story, and you can see some of that through her eyes. It is a link between the star and a fan, and she's still in some sense a witness because she is still collecting.
A lot of these newspaper articles, many of them proudly recounting Gott's latest foreign successes, punctuate the exhibition. And as the organisers promise, there is a lot of parallel history reflected in Karel Gott's life. History of his homeland, history of the recording and show business industry, and that of the East-West divide, which the singer to some degree bridged. In some sense, Karel Gott's life shows he was often at the right place at the right time, though for some periods he clearly wondered whether contemporary Czechoslovakia was the right place to be. He arrived on the musical scene in the late 1950s when a comparative thaw was taking place in Czechoslovakia as the former Stalinist doctrines receded or became discredited. Jazz, Gott's first love, had been regarded as an American import and therefore ideologically suspect at the start of the decade. The music was banned in public places and could only be played in private in the early and mid-1950s. But jazz, in any case, was morphing into swing and soon to be followed by rock and roll. From his first campfire performances, Gott became semi-professional, playing in Prague cafes and clubs at the same time as following in his father's footsteps as an electrical engineer. And by 1960, he had decided to quit his engineering career and follow his musical muse, signing up in the process to voice training at Prague's conservatory. At the end of that training in 1963, Gott was already emerging as a star, though still mainly on the cabaret and big band scene. He won his first Czechoslovak singing award, the so-called Nightingale, in 1964 for his achievements in the previous year. Gott was already feeling that the cabaret and band format was not fitted to his ambitions of a solo career and decided to quit the Semaphore Theatre and provide his own stage for his ambitions. To his surprise, the authorities agreed and the Apollo Theatre was born. The exhibition testifies to Gott's success at home. A letter to him from a fan, Alena, in 1965 was addressed to Carol Gott Singer, Prague, and was actually delivered. Gott was also establishing himself abroad. In 1967, he topped the bill at a Las Vegas hotel. He was portrayed in part as the communist bloc's top singer, although Gott in vain protested he was not a communist. The US marketing men liked to sell him that way, and that's how it stayed. Gott was being educated in the ways of showbiz, East and West. In the same year, Gott signed with the West German record label Polydor, a significant moment for his growing sales and fan base there. Gott was prospering in an environment where he could move pretty freely across the so-called Iron Curtain. But events in August 1968 with the invasion by Soviet-led Warsaw Pact forces created a much more complicated situation. The invasion brought a slow clampdown and return to communist orthodoxy. Many Czechs and Slovaks left the country. And there were rumours in 1968 that Gott had done the same thing on a trip to Vienna. The exhibition shows an extract from an interview on Czechoslovak television with Gott firmly denying any intention to emigrate. Gott's managers and artistic team were by now frequently complaining of the blind alley they were in as a result of the so-called normalisation. There's an interesting anecdote from the period. Gott was in London to visit the Beatles record company Apple in 1970. He broached with John Lennon the possibility of them doing a charity concert in Prague for Czechoslovak children. Gott warned Lennon that though the leaders back home might insist on Lennon getting a haircut. Back in Prague, Gott, perhaps naively, raised the possibility of the concert with the communist authorities. He was sent packing. And in 1971, Gott spent several months in West Germany, although he did not have a valid visa for such a long stay. His parents were interviewed by the secret police. Gott was allowed back without any apparent penalties imposed, but he was no doubt warned to keep in line. And that's what he apparently did. Part of that conformity meant signing the so-called Anti-Charta Charter in 1977, a regime-organised declaration of loyalty and attack on human rights protesters and dissidents. Other singers, such as Marta Kubishova, who got the female version of the National Singing Award in 1968 with Gott as the male winner, were banned for their opposition to the Soviet-led invasion. Gott was made a so-called national artist in 1985, the first person from the pop world to get such an honour from the regime. When Carol Gott somewhat surprisingly appeared on the balcony beside Václav Havel in Prague's Wenceslas Square at the height of the Velvet Revolution to sing the national anthem, Gott believed the revolution meant an end to his career and was prepared to retire. But the response to what he thought would be a farewell tour in 1990 made him think again. He went on and on. Superfund's marketing manager, Michael Marker, paid this tribute.
Yeah, he's still active. He's still popular. And the last year, the most selling album in Czech Republic was Karel Gott.
And there you go, that feature focusing on the life and times of Karel Gott. If you're in Prague, you too can look up that exhibition, that floating exhibit. I'm Jan Wellinger. Just a quick reminder now, if you want to comment on anything you've heard in today's program, it's easy to do so by writing to english@radio.cz or by looking up Radio Prague on the social networks. You can leave your comments and questions, remarks on Facebook as well as Twitter. That's it, though. That's all we have time for this day. Thank you so much for joining us. And until next time, bye-bye.